as Marilyn said, turn with me quickly to the book of Romans. And Pastor had shared with me, you know, the format for this evening. And I don't have a direct message for you. But I have some words I want to share with you that just very quickly go along with what we heard tonight. Not so much the shoebox part of it. And I want you to know it's really in my mind. I was thinking about this even back as the sign-up was going on, but I already had some family commitments that I'm really praying about next year because it's so intriguing. I'm going to read a scripture for you that most of you are familiar with ministry and servanthood in our church family. And as I read this, I'm sure, I hope, I pray that you will pick up on why did he pick that passage? Why did he go with that one? And so let's look at Romans 16 and let's kind of let it speak for itself. Now, I was going to be ornery and ask Harold to read this for us, but I won't. And if you're ever in a Sunday school class and someone says, well, that's not how you say that name, say, well, how would you have said it? Right, Don? Just do that to your Sunday school class there. So let's process through Romans 16 together. I commend to you our servant Phoebe, a servant of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets at their house. Greet my dear friend, Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives who have been in prison with me, and they are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanius, our fellow worker in Christ, and our dear Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong in the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosia, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear Paris, another woman who worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asacris, Phlegion, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philogulus, Julia, Nericus, and her sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with the holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching and have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends his greetings to you, as do Lucius, Jason, Sosipater, my relatives. I, Tertius, who write down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality I and the whole church here enjoy, send you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of public works, and our brother Quartus, send their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ago past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all nations might believe and obey him. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. I've always found some of the endings of Paul's letters very intriguing. Just alone here, and I realize some of them are individuals that are present with Paul as he's writing here to the church at Rome, and some of them are those in Rome that he's acknowledging, but just kind of going through this, we see approximately 30, 32 names and households that Paul mentions just in this one letter. Now, those of you that may not be familiar with New Testament writing, this is a letter. And they do this historical flip in historical writing where in a letter, you kind of have the, hey, how are you, at the end. And then you have the, I love you sincerely. It's at the beginning. So many times you would say, you know, this is Paul together with Timothy, and we're writing this letter. And then at the end, it says, oh, hello. Kind of how it happens in the historical writings of the letters of that time. And so Paul is sending his greetings. And he says, I commend to you. I lift up, I recommend, I commend, I acknowledge, I remember Phoebe and Aquila and Priscilla and all those other names that are a part of my ministry, households and peoples and workers. People where he acknowledges their gifts of whether it's hospitality or servanthood or teaching. Men, women, households that he acknowledges that in some way were encouraging to him or served along with him or were in persecution with him, that were going through it with him. And in simple words, I'm not going to even... I did this once before in another setting. But I could take these names. You could take these names. Those of you that have served the Lord over the years, or maybe in your Christian walk, it's taken you from church family to church family. Or maybe it's taken you around the world. Or maybe it's taken you on a ministry experience somewhere. Or maybe it's taken you into an Awana's class, where sometimes you want to strangle them, but you love them. Now, that one got a response. Okay. Maybe it's taken you from the youth group to the nursery all in one day, Chuck. I don't know if that's a promotion or what. Maybe, who knows where it's taking you. But you could take this passage of Scripture and fill in the blanks, could you not? Of people that are a part of the ministry and the journey and the experience of your Christian faith that you've had a chance to be a part of. I know in the blessings that I've had of being a local church pastor and now serving two associations and being involved in our convention and having just the blessing of working with college students and going around the world, that when I think of my Christian family, of how massive it is, and I can think of a little widow deacon's wife that loved on me and was a mom to me and rented my first home to me, and that was her ministry. And I can think of students that I taught. I can think of pastors that I served with and who are now just dear brothers in Christ. Many of the faces within this room bring back the good old Conway days. I still tell jokes that Brother Dudley told me on the trip to North Dakota years ago. I first met Brother Dudley. We were headed to North Dakota, I think it was. Oh, the memories. But the blessing of it is those that we have served with and we've spread the gospel with. And it was even referred to up here that even when we weren't working, it was a blessing to be around those. A dear sister that instead of spending Thanksgiving in a hardship time was able to be with brothers and sisters in Christ. Some people did the work here, Brian and others, and you were processing it, and some of you were able to go and see it. Whether it's administrating paperwork of Awanas and figuring out who gets what badge or who's in there just making sure they don't kill each other, you know? Whether it's going to Angola, whether it's something that, you know, we kind of think of those biggies, and I mean no ill word, but we think kind of, you know, well, we got to go over there to do the big stuff. I love, I'm praying I may get to go to India in February and maybe Mexico in July, and I'm praying about Angola next fall, and as our ladies go to Angola, those are awesome. But if we look at this book within Paul's writings, it's all of us. And we are all in this ministry thing together. Yes, the Lord calls out some of us to be leaders. He equips some of us to serve, and some of us are given positions of leadership. But I close with this. I use this illustration often. When a search party goes out into the woods to find someone that is identified as being lost, maybe someone has walked away from a facility, a silver alert, maybe a child has been sighted, or something's gone wrong, or maybe a loved one's become missing. We put together a search party, do we not? Has anyone ever actually been a part of a search party? I was in college one time, and we had a silver alert, and I wasn't able to participate, but they would allow students to actually skip without punishment to go help be a part of it, and I just couldn't do it. But have you ever seen a search party? Does that search party walk in a line just behind each other? No. That search party spreads out, and they walk side by side. Now, someone's got to determine, hey, we're going to go this direction. Someone's got to determine, hey, we need to cover this field today. We've already checked that woodland, but we need to go over here. Someone needs to be at the home base, or so to speak. But in a search party, even though that person is designating, this is the direction we're going to walk, aka a pastor or a leadership team or what it might be. The search party is all in the same row, walking next to each other, going in the same direction. The only negative statement, and it's not really a negative, it's a warning, within this passage of Scripture is when Paul warns them, says to not associate, to be cautious, to be diligent, to not associate with those who are divisive. He even says to not be with them for the conflict that they may cause. But he says, I commend you because I'm hearing words of obedience from you. And basically he's saying, keep up the good work and be wise and be obedient. And so folks, we are basically a search party, are we not? Seeking those who may be lost. And yes, it requires a system of leadership to determine how we're going to carry that out. But as Paul addresses these 30-some-odd names within this one ending of a letter, I did it one time, and I don't want to just throw out numbers, but I remember going through Paul's letters. Throughout his letters, he almost addresses 100 different people by name. Some of them, it's the only time he mentions their name. But they're all in it together. And so, whatever your role may be, you may never set foot on this stage. We're in this together. And we're serving the Lord. And we're going to Cuba, and we're going to Senegal, and we're going to Dallas, and we're here on Wednesday night. And folks, the gospel tells us, go ye therefore. It doesn't say sit here and wait for him to show up. So as you are going, you are on the mission field. In a sense, please hear my heart in this, I think you know me by now, this room is not our mission field. This is home base. This is the locker room. This is the pep talk. This is the celebration, whatever we want it to be. Yes, there are people saved in this very spot, but my guess is something has happened before that brought him to this spot. I was a young seventh grader. My family that was here this morning, by the way, you did an awesome job. I appreciate the welcome that you showed them. One of my sisters is Episcopalian. My other sister and her family, very devout Catholic. That's how I was raised. In my life, it was a process of people loving on me and ministering to me, and that was back in the Royal Ambassador days, okay, pre-Awana, pre-teen kids. I was an RA, okay? But it was a choir teacher loving on me. It was an RA teacher loving on me. It was a Sunday school teacher loving on me. It was a family down the road. But that was back in the early 80s when not everybody was of a divorced family. And it was just all happening. I didn't know another divorced child in my life. Okay. And down the road was a kid, and I heard him call his dad by his first name, and I said, "Is he your dad?" And he goes, "No, he's my stepdad." And I thought, ooh, someone I can relate to. And they started taking me to church. And about 2 years later, I found the Lord and came out of the choir loft because various people were impacting my life. So you may be the person hauling someone to church. You may be the person picking someone up for Awanas. And I know there's nights you just want to drop them all off on one corner. Been there. Okay? I'll close with this story. When I was pastoring at Conway, there was a young man that lived kind of in the economic housing. And we picked him up night after night, Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Even when we didn't have something, we picked him up. He was a good kid, never any issue. He had a family he sat with, and he just knew that. Time after time, we went and picked him up. Mom would always walk him out to the van. Mom would always say hello. Mom was always polite. At times, we'd take them gifts at Thanksgiving or Christmas, just loving on him. We started praying for Grandma. Little guy wanted to pray for Grandma. I mean, prayer requests, you just knew he was going to be the first hand. We're praying for Grandma. Grandma passed away. I go to see Mom, and she says, "Well, you do the funeral, you're my pastor." Had never been in the church. So it's vacation Bible school time, and that was back when it was kind of the theme was some like outdoor mountain thing, and we had all these green Christmas trees that were undecorated that were supposed to be pine trees up. And they said, just leave it there. So we did a funeral with all the VBS stuff up. That family became attending church. And I baptized Mom and son because of a van ministry. Folks, you never know. You never know. And so as Paul says, so that the gospel may be heard in all nations. It takes some of us in the kitchen. It takes some of us in the sound booth. It takes some of us just praying in the pew. It takes some of us packing the boxes. It takes some of us unloading the kids. It takes some of us just living. It takes all of us living our life daily. As you are going, be my witnesses. Amen? Amen. And you're doing it. We're doing it. But just take that as a reminder. I'm thankful for a church where there's not a lot of drama. I know we have our moments. But I'm thankful for a church where we hear the word, where our pastor is protected, where we worship in a sense of love and harmony, and where the gospel is being spread. Folks, I couldn't say that before all 27 of my churches. Pray for those churches that are struggling. Pray for those churches where there is division. And take it as a gospel warning that we never be a part of that. Okay? It happens, I know. But Paul tells us, told Romans, I'm thankful for your obedience as we spread the gospel to the nations. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, we love you. To you be the glory. Father, use each of us in the way that you have equipped us. And may your name be praised. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.